Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. Today on Basic Gospel, we welcome Ralph Harris, author of God's Astounding Opinion of You and his top-rated new release, Life According to Perfect. He's president of Ralph Harris Ministries, which, like Basic Gospel, is a media ministry devoted to helping people better understand the grace of God, and we like that a lot. Ralph, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
Great to have
you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, for our listeners, Ralph Harris is, I've known of you for a long, long time, Ralph. We've met over the last 7 or 8 years. We've spoken at different events together, and you're just a wonderful communicator and a good friend as far as the grace of God is concerned. And you know what good friends do? They share their friends with others. And that's what we want to do on today's broadcast, is to share you with our listening audience. I know they will gain some great insight from you. And we're just pleased as punch to have you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is good to be doing this with you. I've enjoyed getting to know you as well. I especially appreciate your depth and your humor.
Well, the guys, Ralph, I was going to tell the listeners that you and Bob started right in immediately, just jousting one another, and I was wondering, have you guys met before? Tense moment there.
Yeah.
Sarcasm, no sarcasm. Yeah. Well, we really connect on that. But, Ralph, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to know Jesus, and then really how you came to know the grace of God and your identity in Christ.
Well, that, of course, is the greatest, the best part of my life, is that I grew up pretty much going to a church that taught me how to have good manners. Even at one point, when I think I was in the eighth grade, we even studied the U.S. Constitution in church.
Wow.
So it was really how to behave, how you should be good, because after all, we had quite a heritage as Americans, so here's your Constitution. But when I went to college, everything changed, and I wanted to put on the best Ralph I could. I wanted to arrive on campus as nobility, if that makes sense, even though I didn't believe I was noble. I was a put-on, in other words. So I didn't really realize that everybody else was doing it, but I'd never asked the question, who am I? I thought you just became all the time, and you were in various stages of becoming all the time. That's what life was, being the best you could be at any given scenario. So I was in graduate school, and when I returned from an internship in Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, I didn't know Jesus there. I wish I had, but I didn't. I came back, and a bunch of my friends, including fraternity friends, had become Christians. That was bothersome to me, because I thought God was a cosmic killjoy, for lack of a better term. He was sure to put an end to all the fun I was having. So I avoided them, and I avoided him as best I could. But at one point they said, we're going to go to a Bible study, which I thought, that's got to be fun. But there were going to be my friends were going to be there, and there were going to be girls there. Well, that was interesting. So I went to that Bible study, and at the very end of it, the speaker, it was just in a house, the speaker made an appeal, which had very little gospel in it, except something like, if you walked out of the house and got hit by a bus, do you know where you would go? So, you know, no gospel in it at all. But they said, if you'd like to receive Jesus, of course, our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, lift your hand. And almost outside of my will, my hand shot up. I looked up at it and thought, dear God, I believe in God. What has happened?
At least your hand did, huh?
It did, yeah. And I did because of it. And that night began this love affair with the invisible God that I've come to know and adore. And that was the start.
Well, after that hand went up, and it is just a supernatural thing. I mean, the grace of God just wows you in such a way that you believe. and it's just fabulous. What kind of changes did you see kind of immediately following that? Did you see a lot of behavioral changes, or did you see some things going on the inside that really started to make you stop and take notice that something powerful is going on here?
Good questions. I knew immediately something had happened to me. I felt far less complicated. I felt much more simple. I wasn't afraid. I began to realize how much fear played a part in my life over what people would think of me, how I could use fear to get what I wanted or avoid it to get what I didn't want, and so on. But much of my life began to, I started to think, how can I please God? How can I do the things God wants me to do? Because isn't that what life is all about? You do that in getting sales or in business of some sort. You try to do the best you can, you get the sale. Well, you do the best you can to please God, so he gives you what you want. So in a way, I thought, gosh, I've got everything now plus God, and I wonder, how do I make God useful? Which is a horrible thing.
Oh, my goodness. God, I want you to be useful for me. You know, when I need help, I want you there. You just do what I need you to do to make my life better, and everything will work out great.
And I know that if I do the right things, then God, you're on my side, and we'll be so close and so forth. Well, It soon occurred to me that that was not working. I wouldn't get a sale. I wouldn't get a girlfriend. And my life wasn't matching up. And it came to a point where in one moment, God showed me that he found no fault with me and loved me perfectly. And it absolutely dazzled me and captivated me. And when God says something to me anyway, it comes with all of the faith I needed to believe it, if that makes sense. I had no doubt. And I fell in love with God, head over heels with him. And simply by wanting to remain in the knowledge of his love for me, everything else about me worked. So covetousness dropped far below what I'd ever known. Lust, fear, everything seemed to drop away because of the one thing, which was, I just want to know this love that God, this perfect love that God has for me. And that set my life on a whole new course, away from business and grad school, into the ministry and telling people this great news of the gospel.
Well, I love how you put that, just this one thing. You know, we are prone to complicate and add layer upon layer, nuance upon nuance, to make us seem complex and sophisticated and more than what we really are. But when you look out there in the world, the most successful people are those who have learned to focus on one thing. It's kind of interesting. Bill Gates and William Buffett were asked to write down one word that kind of characterized their life and characterized their success. And they just wrote down a word and then turned it in, and both of them wrote down the exact same word, and it was simply this: focus. And when you get captivated by the love of God, as you were explaining, everything else just kind of disappears, doesn't it? I mean, all you can see, all you want, all you desire, all you're interested in is knowing that love to its fullest extent. And boy, like you said, every piece of the puzzle of your life kind of starts to fall into place, and that completeness you have in Christ really starts to emerge as the reality, doesn't it?
It did. And so that when my life in business or my romantic life, when things didn't work out there, which of course things in this world, including romance, they just don't work right. But when that happened, I still had the context of, well, God loves me perfectly and finds no fault with me. He's not trying to get me to change so much as I am changed when I'm knowing him. So that must be the key. So it didn't mean I necessarily kept the course all the time, you know, that I kept focus. But I had something to which to return again and again, which, well, his love for me makes me work. It's the best thing I've ever found, and it's what I've ministered. It's what I write about. It's the greatest thing I've ever found, mostly because it makes me feel best, and it works. I would say it that way.
Yes, it does. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is Ralph Harris. He is the author of a brand new book, Life According to Perfect, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then his first book, 30,000 people, more than 30,000 people have benefited from reading this. It's God's Astounding Opinion of You. And Ralph, how did you come to write this first book, God's Astounding Opinion of You? I know when you first wrote it, you had a different title and then submitted it to a publisher, and they kind of worked with you to come up with this title. But if someone reads this book, what are they going to discover about themselves? And like I said, what caused you to write it, and what do you hope people find or discover about themselves in reading it?
Well, I'd have to say the reason I wrote the book was probably twofold. One was I just like being with God in every way I can. So if I'm writing with God, if I'm doing something with Him, that's enough for me. So the other thing was I wanted to write something that He and I did together and to give to people. It would be something that I would think, you've got to have this. Because most people I've noticed don't know this thing. You've got to have this. So that's how I approached it. And then I was approached basically by publishers who then kind of inflated all kinds of ideas about what would happen as a result of being published and won't this be grand, most of which did not happen. But it refined me again to I just want people to know what God thinks about them, what He did for them, what He did to them, where He lives now in them, in the case of the Christian, and then how can they enjoy God on the inside and assist people to the same thing. So those are the themes of that book. How did he get in me? What did He do? How compatible am I with God? What did the cross and the resurrection mean to me? What is new birth? So the book is 15 chapters of a lot of scripture and a lot of practical work in it as well to make it approachable for people who might not have it in one book.
Well, Ralph, you've taught at conferences all around the country and even, you know, other countries as well. And you've had an opportunity to talk with different people, to explore with them their journey in Christ. What are some of the obstacles that you see that are keeping people from truly enjoying who they are in Christ?
I think there's a theme, and that is people are generally better prepared to hear bad news than good news. Bad about them than good about them. So when I have said, look, here's what God did. He's made you all new. This is what He thinks the new creation is. He's taken up residence in you, and He's brought you into Himself. You're completely compatible. They have very little evidence of that having happened. They have an awful lot of evidence to the contrary. So their behavior, their thoughts, their experiences have sort of tempered or even canceled out the truth found in the New Testament. So I would share this with them. I would point it to them in the scriptures, and they would say, why have I never seen it like this? Why does that make such sense now, but it didn't just a few moments ago? And the other thing is, I would say, is that people have gotten used to navigating their days apart from God. I said a few moments ago that I wanted to make God useful for a lot of my new Christian life, but it turns out even before then it would have been nice. But it turns out that God's not into that. But He is into delivering me from fear, because He's in me. He lives in me, and perfect love drives out fear and becomes a whole new navigation. Not just that I have to be love into people, but that he who is love lives in me. And his influence on the inside, sometimes through me, became the delight of my life. And that's what I point people to in the first book, as well as in the second book.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we'll be back with our conversation with Ralph Harris in just a moment, friends. But, you know, a joint project between Bob and Richard has produced a phenomenal resource for Basic Gospel listener supporters this month. It's a message of hope, of truth, of lasting change found only in Jesus Christ. It's a 14-CD series called It's All Yours, and it is. Request your copy when you make your donation to support Basic Gospel in the month of January. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. In Canada, of course, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. We'd love for you to partner with us in this message of grace in Jesus Christ. And for those of you who may just be joining us right now, our guest today is Ralph Harris, president of Ralph Harris Ministries and author of the new book, which is the center of our conversation today. It's called Life According to Perfect. Bob, back to you.
Well, before we get to that, I know all of our listeners, Ralph, want to know how you broke the internet. I mean, they've seen the movie. We've got you live, and they want to know, how did you break that internet?
Well, if they would send their donation to me immediately in the sum of about $1 million,
you get it fixed right away. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Well, Ralph, you've written a brand new book. I think it came out sometime last year, Life According to Perfect. This is a fictional piece, allegorical in nature. But boy, it's getting some good buzz. I read some comment online just yesterday where somebody said they read the book and it just absolutely changed their prayer life. And I thought, what a great comment. And if a book is that powerful, it's a book that needs to be read. So tell us a little bit about Life According to Perfect. How did you come to write this one, and what's the storyline? What will people get in reading this?
About 10 to 11 years ago, I'd run off to a cabin in Jackson Hole, my favorite place in the world, to stay in a small cabin owned by some friends of mine. I wanted to just spend some time with God, just for the sheer purpose of being with him in a way that I knew I was. And in that, I woke up one morning and I suddenly had a whole story in my head that was perfect love, not only casts out fear, but especially Colossians 1:27, which is the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you. And I suddenly knew that he should have a name, and that is Perfect. His name is Perfect. And I suddenly saw and knew, I'm going to write this story of Perfect coming to live in a young man, a boy of about 12, and what his experience will be with God, who is perfect in compassion, perfect in counsel, perfect in love, perfect in every way, that he'll have perfect within him, and then he's going to go experience relationships, interaction with people, both adult in the town that he lives in, his parents, youth, his classmates, teachers as well. And I was dazzled. Now, it took me 10 years to write it, partly for lots of reasons. One, I think I sometimes have the focus or I remain focused like maybe a gnat in a room that buzzes around all the time.
I tell you, writing is hard work. People just don't necessarily understand that, but it is difficult work, especially when you're putting together characters and you're wanting to make sure that the points you're making really align themselves with what the Word of God is teaching you, what the Spirit of God is teaching you. So, yeah, I can understand
right.
The 10-year process most definitely. Well, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. You put Elliot in a town called Sarks, and the life of Perfect. If he's gonna live his life through us, it's in this body of flesh that we live in, and yet he overcomes that, doesn't he?
He does. The town is called Sark's, which is the biblical term for flesh. And by that, I mean to convey. And a lot of people aren't going to get that. It's an allegory, so I haven't explained it in the book. But it just means that everybody in the town is trying to manage themselves without God.
Learning how to cope, I think is how you put it.
Exactly. Avoid pain or get what they want, one or the other. But they become used by fear. And they also use fear. It becomes common to them, so much so that when Jesus comes to live in the boy, he doesn't know. Suddenly fear shocks him because he never knew the absence of it. And then when he approaches relationships, whether on the playground or at church or wherever it might be, there's fear. The absence of fear causes him to know God in him in a way that becomes a whole new way of expression, a whole new way of life and relationships. He has a little bit of fear maybe in that, wait a minute, if I don't act just right, or I might do something stupid, and then I'm going to get ridiculed. But perfect, Jesus, of course, perfect with him, convinces him that everything he needs is found on the inside now with God in him. And that's the story. And then there's 12 chapters, or rather 9 chapters more, of each one is a fruit of the Spirit. And what might that look like with his mother, with his father, with the bully on the playground, with a teacher who is exceptionally manipulative? So I attempt to give the reader a way of seeing, of considering, what would it be like if Jesus actually made me his house and got busy in me? What would it be like?
And that's
so
what
how
he
long
acts.
Would it, that, and that's what he does. How long before I would be his tag along when I go to work, or when I go to school, or when I drive in the car? I'm with him.
Man,
that's the book.
That's just powerful and wonderful.
And well, tell our listeners how they can get the book.
Well, they can go to my website, ralphharris.org. And they can get everything they need there, including there's 160 some odd videos there and lots of writings. They can get information about the book there. They can also get it on Amazon, and they can get it on Amazon pretty much around the world as well.
Well, that's great. So it's ralphharris.org, and you have all the books right there, and you can just click on each book to go order that one. And for our listeners, I highly recommend both of his books, God's Astounding Opinion of You and Life According to Perfect. You will be blessed in just wonderful ways. Ralph is not only a great communicator verbally, he may be even better with the written page. So, Ralph, thank you for joining us today. As you were closing there, one of our favorite verses here is John 17:3. This is eternal life, that we know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And I think that verse really sums up what your life and your ministry is all about. And thank you for sharing the life of Christ in the way that you do, that is impacting people all around the world, my friend.
I'm so grateful to be here with you today, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Ralph, hold the line, if you don't mind. If you have time, we'll pick you up after we clear the satellite. We'd love to say goodbye to you in person. Friends, a quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your January gift, be sure to request your 14-CD series called It's All Yours. It's our gift back to you for supporting this message and this ministry that we proclaim God's love and grace in life every day right here on Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, of course, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, friends, that our listener line is open all hours, so you can voicemail any question that you might have over the weekend or any time, for that matter. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. You can send your question also to bob@basicgospel.net via email, and we'll be glad to address it here on Basic Gospel. Anyway, it's a great way to get your question to us, and we would love to hear from you, our listeners, as always. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, and with our thanks to Ralph Harris, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.